everyone, and welcome to episode 71 of season 11 of Movie Reminiscence, the Daily Podcast, where we curry our way through the 2001 award-winning HBO miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and join me once again today to finish off this stint, even though it's the beginning of the week, is David Brook from Blueprint Review. Welcome back, David.
Hello, well, good to be back. I'm getting cold in my foxhole. I need to get out now.
It didn't help that we did a weekend in trash. Come on.
Oh, no, yeah. Need some fresh air.
Yes. Exactly. So episode 71 begins with Doc continuing to scrounge and ends with Doc walking around the makeshift aid station. So we left things off yesterday with Doc trying to find as much supplies as he possibly can. And he's, you know, here in the foxhole with Percante. And he actually just starts dumping everything out of
Percante's
knapsack. And starts going through it looking for whatever he can find. Percante goes, "Hey, that's my stuff. Come on, Doc." And he goes, "You got a drugstore in here?" He goes, "No, I own my stuff." He goes, "What are you looking for?" He goes, "Scissors," as he pulls up a pair of scissors. He goes, "Thank you, Percante." And he goes, "My goddamn scissors."
Finally gets them.
So, yeah, it's taken him, taking him a little over 10 minutes of us watching him, and then, he just takes the scissors and runs off. And he goes past, one of the foxholes where men are inside, and then he stops at another one where he's trying to, still get more supplies and stuff like that. And then, as he's walking around, Garnier shows up near him. And he goes, "Sergeant Garnier." He goes, "Marlene, is that you?" He goes, "Hey, Doc. Doc, come here." And he goes, "USO picking up cigarettes." as far as Doc is concerned, he's moving from place to place, and he gets to the place where both Allie and Liebgott are, and he goes, "Allie, Liebgott, you got any?" He goes, "Nope, got used in Holland, Doc." He goes, "You ain't using that stuff, are you? I mean, personal, like, come on." And these guys, again, they're in a situation where I don't understand why, but they're having a blast. They're singing.
Yeah, they're singing songs.
you just transplant them into a different place. You can make it sound as if they're singing, drinking songs.
It seems slightly silly, like singing quite loud in this kind of situation. But I guess you could argue that the Germans know exactly where they are. They're just not shooting them at that particular moment in time. But, yeah, still.
Yeah. But still.
Yeah.
And Garnier finally just catches up to him to Doc, and he goes, "Hey, Doc, I still got the itching. Every time I pee, it's murder." He goes, "Yeah, I know. I'm sorry." And he goes, "I don't have penicillin for your Beirut." Now, do you know what a Beirut is?
No.
So a Beirut is actually it's one of two things. It's either a windsock, which is what you have at an airport showing like the amount of winds and the direction of the winds.
Yeah.
Or it is a French slang term for the male genital organ.
Okay. Probably the latter.
Oh, it's for sure the latter here. Okay, because it's alluded to here, and I don't.
Yeah.
It's alluded to the fact that Garnier probably has like the clap or something like that.
Yeah, it hurts when he pees. He's saying it.
Yeah, it makes it seem as if he contracted something.
Hmm.
But it's not something that's really doesn't go into details here.
No, it's something the doctor's not really concerned about right now, I guess.
<That's right. clears throat> Yeah, But I mean, it's something that obviously Garnier is having to figure out a way to deal with. Again, understandable.
I imagine it is something that happened an awful lot, but when
probably.
you've got.
Probably. Especially in these situations where, you know, these guys are all very far from home, I guess you could say.
Around a lot of guys all the time. If they ever get any chance of seeing any ladies, then the testosterone kicks in, and you never know what's gonna happen.
I looked around and wasn't able to find anything talking about it in the book. So I'm not really sure where exactly where they came up with this idea. So yeah, it's
I guess just injecting a bit of humor and thinking about what the doctor might have to face. I guess it must have just been a bit of a think tank thing going on, maybe.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Again, it's a little strange that they would add this little thing in there with because Garnier was still alive when they made this.
All right, yeah.
But then again, based on what I know of Garnier, maybe he would have been proud of the fact that they were talking about the fact that he contracted some sort of disease.
Maybe he suggested it in some interviews afterwards, I don't know, that they didn't chose not to include in the book
Exactly.
or what have you.
And then Gardner doesn't even understand what Doc Rogers said to him, and he goes, "My what?" And Doc just decides he's not going to explain it. He goes, "Just make sure you move around a little, get your blood flowing." He goes, "I can't feel my feet." He goes, "You got to move around so you don't get trench foot." "Should I take my boots off?" And he goes, "Just loosen them up. Keep moving." And he goes, "Sergeant, oh, I'm sorry. Look, I know it must be hell, but I can't help you, all right? Just drink lots of water." "Water? It's pissing that hurts." "Shut it. Shut the hell up." Then Dyke shows up and "What's going on here, Bill? Who the hell's singing?" "Well, I'll find out, Lieutenant. I'll find out. I'll shut him up." So I like the way that they sort of put together all of these small little stories between the guys. That someone shows up and says, "Okay, who's making a lot of noise? Who's singing? Who's this?" And we just went one by one and we got to see who they were.
Yeah, and plus you can continue to hear the singing during the little scene when they're talking about his need for penicillin and all
Right.
this kind of stuff. So it's nicely gelled together.
Right. I mean, again, I guess these guys need to find a way to wind down, I guess you could say. Probably the best way to describe it, from that
Yeah,
perspective.
absolutely.
But I mean, I liked the way that they do this. Having him jump. Sorry, it was Compton who shows up that's all upset about the sounds, right? And then Doc Rowe just finds a foxhole to jump into, and we see a flare up in the sky.
Yeah, and with the flares again, I've got little facts about those. So when the flares were attached to the parachutes in this way, because if you see on this one, I think it's got a little parachute on it. But yeah, those types of flares are used to illuminate an area that's going to be attacked or that artillery is aiming for. Whereas smaller flares, because sometimes you'll just get the small kind of gun flares fired from guns, they're just used for signals. So So I guess the soldiers would have known that. They would see that little parachute flare and they'd immediately know, right, get bunker down, we're gonna get
Right.
hit. Yeah.
It makes sense that that you have to learn the pattern of things, and then you know how to look ahead and know what's going
How
to
to
happen again.
react. Yeah.
And then Doc Rowe gets into one of the foxholes and is playing with some string, basically, and he starts saying, "Oh Lord, grant that I shall never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, or to be loved as to love with all my heart, with all my heart." So, do you have any idea what it is that he just said?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay, it's actually a prayer. It's a
Makes
it's
sense.
a Christian prayer called the Prayer of Saint Francis, which is also known as the Peace Prayer or the Simple Prayer for Peace, or Make Us an Instrument of Your Peace, something like that.
Okay.
It's mostly associated with the Italian Saint Francis of Assisi. But ironically, it's never mentioned in any of his writings. So the text itself is quite interesting. It's Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me bring love. Where there's offense, let me bring pardon. Where there is discord, let me bring union. Where there is error, let me bring truth. Where there is doubt, let me bring faith. Where there is despair, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring you the light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. O Lord, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that one receives, it is in self-forgetting that one finds. It is in forgiving that one is forgiven. It is in dying that one awakens to eternal life. So it's interesting here, because he's sort
Yeah.
of changing he's got the concept right, but he is changing like, for instance, he says so much to be consoled as to console, as opposed to they're forgetting the beginning of it, which is
Yeah.
no, actually they do at the beginning. O Lord, grant that I shall
All right.
never seek to be consoled. But here it's so much to be consoled as to, well, okay,
Okay.
it's the second, it's the latter part of the prayer itself that he says here. Which it's interesting
Okay.
that that the writer Bruce McKenna decided to throw in this prayer in the middle of this the middle of Doc Rowe running from place to place trying to gather supplies, more or less.
And it's just as it seems as though they're about to get hit as well. So it's quite an odd moment. Although it leads into the like a little fade out, doesn't it? Like a scene transition.
Correct. Yeah, they give us a little bit of a transition here, and now we're back in the middle of the day, and Doc is running, and we hear in the distance someone scream, "Medic!"
Yeah, I like the way that comes on the black as well. It's a nice little transition. To bring us out of this very brief moment of peace when it goes black. Yeah, so it's a nice little touch.
I mean, again, it's also a way to transition from the from the nighttime to the daytime.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And the doctor's just running, trying to figure out who it is, and then we hear Percante say, "Medic!" And we find out
And we.
that the guy with Percante got injured, and his leg looks really, really bad.
Oh yeah, I was going to say this is one of the gorier episodes, and I think, and kind of rightfully so, because obviously it's focusing on the medic. It kind of gives you a proper full on glimpse at the kind of things he's dealing with. But yeah, it is one of the gorier episodes. Although we've only just come across some now, but there's more to come in the episode. There's some really pretty gruesome bits later on. that someone else that you'll get to with someone else in the
Yeah,
next coming weeks.
but also there is the whole fact that we see that it looks like it's like parts of a tree that exploded that went into it. It looks like it's bark.
Yeah, well, it could well be. I guess that's something you don't always think about when with bullets and explosions and things. You kind of just I don't know, when you're a kid you kind of just think it's about the bullet hitting you or it's the explosion blowing you apart. But no, a lot of the time it's shrapnel. It's something that's been hit flying off at you, or it's yeah, it's an onslaught from, even if the actual bomb or bullet isn't actually gonna hit you itself.
Yeah, no, it's but it's nice and gruesome and problematic. I mean they do talk a
And then
little
you
bit in the book about someone who was injured by shrapnel from a tree.
Oh yeah.
So it says here, for the men of Easy, without decent socks and no galoshes, feet always cold and always wet, trench foot quickly became a problem. Corporal Carson remembered being taught that the way to prevent trench foot was to massage the feet. So he took off his boots and massaged his feet. A German shell came in and hit a tree over his foxhole. Splinters tore up his foot and penetrated his thigh. He was evacuated back to Bastogne. At the hospital set up in the town and looked around and never saw so many wounded men. I called the medic over and said, "Hey, how come you got so many wounded people around here? Aren't we evacuating anybody?" "Haven't you heard?" the medic replied. "I haven't heard a damn thing. They've got us surrounded, the poor bastards." General McCullough saw to it. The wounded had booze for comfort, but as far as Doc Rowe is concerned, he's got to do what he can to try to help Carson, if this is meant to be Carson,
Yeah.
who interesting, like I said, has a he has in his has bits and pieces of shrapnel.
Yeah. You also see in this scene when he's treating his wound, he pours the powder we mentioned earlier, the sulfur powder that all soldiers would should have had in their packs. You see him pouring that in the wound. Like I said, you're supposed to do it as soon as possible. Although it's called sulfur, it's not sulfur as in the SUL PH ER. It's oh
Isn't
no,
it
is
so
it,
far?
I'm trying to remember to spell it off the top of my head now. No, but it's an SULFA, which is short for sulfonamides, according to Google. And they were the primary kind of revolutionary antibiotics used during World War II to treat infections. So yeah, so they had these little packets you just quickly break up, chuck it on the wound to try and kill any germs, prevent bacterial infection and sepsis and things like that. So yeah, it's quite a useful little thing, little pouch.
Definitely. And then we hear Percanti on the radio going, "Easy CP, Easy CP, this is Percanti. Sisk, Sisk, sorry, not Carson. Sisk, Sisk has been hit and I need a jeep. Oh, I say it again, I need a jeep now." He goes, "They're moving, God damn it, we need it now." And there's more explosions going on. And then, "Okay, Sisk, it ain't that bad, ain't that bad. Ain't that bad?" Ah! And Doc then wants to give him some of the morphine. He goes, "No, Doc, take the morphine. I can make it. I can make it. Save it. Okay? All right. Let's get him out of here." And they actually start dragging him at first, and then they lift him up, which is probably not that comfortable.
No, really, carrying me quite a bizarre sort of way as well. Well, it kind of makes sense, but
Yeah, but then
yeah, it's
they
quite,
fall along the
yeah.
way, and it's even
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's brutal that, and he
yeah.
falls on his
Then
leg. Oh,
a
yeah.
jeep finally meets up with them, and they carry him over to the jeep. And right before that, they say, "Where's the damn jeep?" And he goes, "I don't know, but I hear it." And then shows up. Oh, Jesus Christ! And skinny. "You got blood all over your trousers." He goes, "I'm real sorry, Frank." He goes, "Get him up." "Damn it, skinny." Doc then says, "Tell Spine I went in for plasma." And he goes, "Get him up." And that's when they pick him up and they go, "All the tanks, artillery, you're pulling back to here. We've got no backup beyond Bastogne. This is it. The craft captured the 326 medical, and they took everybody. Doctors, medics, the whole shebang. We got nothing. They're giving the boys a hooch for the pain. So, you know, like I said, they were giving booze. And then they basically strap him onto the front of a Jeep.
Yeah, it's weird that it looks really odd, like, on the front of it. It's like, it looks like he's in the way when they try to drive.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. But I guess it's flat surface. It's
well,
you can lay out. It makes sense, but
is
it
he
does
on a
seem
stretcher?
odd.
I think it's on a stretcher.
Yeah, it looks a bit like a stretcher. You've got the pole, or at least you've got some kind of
Yeah,
pole
so,
sticking out.
you
It
know,
looks like a
makes
stretcher.
sense the way that they would do that. You know, it's pretty scary to drive like that. You know, to drive or to be on the hood as you're
Yeah.
being driven through. But one of the great things is we get to see the destruction in this small town on the way to the aid station.
Yeah.
The driver and Doc Rowe finally reach it, and they carry Sisk off and put him on a stretcher to be taken inside. And he goes, "He took a mortar hit. Watch the leg." And then Sisk goes, "Yeah, watch the leg." He goes, "Get him in. Move it. Coming through. Morning, fellas." You know, Doc Rowe decides to go inside and see if there's anything that he can do. But as he's walking towards there, he sees a whole pile of dead bodies. You know, we don't know if these are meant to be GIs or if these are meant to be locals. Who knows? But
Well, it mentions a little bit on the kind of fact thing. So yeah, it says the responsibility for the collection, transportation, identification, and burial of all battlefield dead, as well as the disposition of their personal items, it fell under the Quartermaster's Graves Registration Service. So I imagine they must have been based there. They must have been piling them up for these guys to kind
right,
of
but it's not as
go
if
through and
they're
sort
dealing
it all
with
out, really.
you know, trying to find supplies or equipment from. I mean, these are just the bodies themselves. You know, so
Yeah.
yeah, it's interesting. And then the camera follows Doc as he walks into this makeshift infirmary, I guess you can say. And then they go down to the basement. And I gotta say, it's pretty good. The Sisk doesn't fall off the stretcher because they're holding it at a very strange angle. And then
Yeah.
he's put on the table, and a nurse comes over, and she goes, "Oh no 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 no! Here, put him here." "Yes, ma'am." "Is he bad?" "Nope. Lower leg wound. No morphine." "Nurse, have you got plasma I can wait, please?" So, you know, Doc gets a little brushed off trying to help in an emergency situation with trying to get information, you know. And then we get a shot of them treating another guy who got hit in the neck. And, you know, they put bandages on his neck and stuff like that. It's obviously meant to show us you know, the various type of things the various type of wounds that people apparently got.
Yeah, and the kind of volume of people being treated
Right.
as well. I got this room totally
And then
rammed
we
full.
see the nurses, you know, treating someone else, again, quite bloody. But, and then Doc just walks away and sees someone who is either supposed to be a doctor or a medic. And he goes, "Hey, what's going on here? Why aren't these men evacuated?" He goes, "We can't evacuate. We're cut off." He goes, "This is as far as it goes." So yeah, it's I think this is another great 5-minute segment, which is you know, really giving us an overview as to the hardships these men had to face, you know, as they were you know, also facing the Germans. You know, I wouldn't necessarily call it a
Yeah,
bureaucratic
absolutely.
problem, but you know, it is something that is not is not easy to maneuver around.
No, it's yeah, and as I say, I do like it, as I say, jumping between the kind of more intimate bits with the Easy Company, then seeing kind of the bigger picture, the more people, the volume of people dead, the volume of people getting injured, it kind of brings you out to see the on a wider scale. Yeah. And again, I've got quite a few little few last little snippets that link to that, really. There's There's a little bit of information about exactly what was going on in Bastogne. So yeah, the Americans are surrounded at Bastogne, but they continue to deny the Germans access to the road. So obviously we see them driving on the Jeep and they're on an actual road. But because of this, so the Germans launched ongoing attacks, altogether sending 15 divisions supported by heavy artillery to the town. So the Germans were really bombarding them, but the Americans managed to hold onto those roads and keep hold of the Bastogne. Yeah, there's also a bit more information about the kind of surgical techniques. Obviously, if you see them in that little aid station trying to work on people, but they're saying how with advancing surgical techniques and the discovery of drugs such as sulfur and penicillin, an injured soldier's chance of survival was greatly improved. Another contributing factor in improving the mortality rate was the speed with which the frontline combat medics treated and transported wounded men. So I guess having the jeeps and things like that kind of made a difference in
Sure.
comparison to kind of World War One, where it was just people were kind of done for. So yeah, by December the 20th, the Germans had Bastogne surrounded, and the men referred to Bastogne and their position as the hole in the donut,
Well,
is
again, I know
what
that
they
we're
referred to
gonna
as.
see it either at the end of this part of it's either at the end of part six or part seven about the fact that that it says that they were surrounded by the enemy, and he says there's not a single paratrooper that will agree to the fact that that they were that they were in a bad position, that they were surrounded. It's like I think they say a
Yeah,
paratrooper is never surrounded or something like that.
yeah. There's a map you can see earlier on the Blu-ray as well that kind of shows the position of Bastogne, and it kind of shows the placement of the divisions. So you kind of had where there's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven kind of divisions
Oh,
listed
wow.
just around this kind of shape around Bastogne. And
Wait,
there's quite a
seven
few
German
roads that you can
divisions or
see kind of
seven
like one,
Allied
two,
divisions?
three, four, five, six. No, Allied ones. So, but it stretched around the kind of outskirts of Bastogne. And then you've got like kind of like one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. There's like seven roads going into Bastogne that they were trying to hold. So yeah, it's quite an interesting little. I love seeing stuff like that. As I say, it's a really, really good special feature. Like you can go through the whole film. And what's good about it as well is you don't, because it'll take a while to watch the whole series again and with these things. But what you can actually do is, I would watch the episode straight like normally, and then I'd go back and what you can do is you just skip to the next little
You
factoid,
can
so you can
jump it
just
exactly de
quickly kind of
facto
in
in.
5, 10 minutes just whiz through them. Yeah, you can ju jump to them afterwards. So it's really well thought through. Yeah, it's a fantastic disc in general because you've got your commentaries and your documentaries and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, I love it. I like digging into
Makes
it.
sense.
There's also some on the kind of the field guide factoid sort of thing and what have you. They occasionally have little archival footage from World War II as well, which is really, really good to see. I love seeing stuff like
That is really cool. I need to get me the Blu-ray.
that.
Right,
Yeah.
excellent. Anything else you want to say about this segment, or you're good?
Let's have a little look. I think I'm good.
Oh,
I think we've covered most of it, really. Most of my notes, at least. Yeah.
all right, so today's segment is a segment called Oh Brother. Where my guests will give their top five movie brothers. So once again, David, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
Okay, I'm going to start number five with a recent one, which I imagine might have come up in a few lists, and that is Sinners. Yeah, obviously it's been nominated for loads of Oscars and things like that, and rightfully so. It's a great little film, and that obviously centers around two brothers who are strong characters, good to watch. And
Okay, well, you should know that you are the first person to ask for
oh,
this
really?
list.
Okay, cool, fair enough. Number four, I'm gonna go with Son of the White Mare. This is an animated film by Marcel Yankovic. And it is an absolutely
But who? You made it sound like it's Weird Al Yankovic.
no,
What?
Marcel Yankovic, I think that's how you pronounce it. Is he Hungarian? I'm trying to load my review to get more information, but my website's incredibly slow at the moment. But yeah, I think he's Hungarian. Where is it? Let's have a little look. Yes.
What's the name of that movie?
Son of the White Mare. It's a really trippy film. It's visually absolutely stunning. Like just it's amazing. So it's definitely worth watching. It's quite an unusual kind of. It's based on a folk story, of a Hungarian folk tale, and the way the brothers come into it. So it opens with a white mare, like a horse, escaping from some dark force before giving birth to a son, who's later named Tree Shaker. And this name kind of comes after the ghost of his forefather tells him to continue to nurse from his mother until he's strong enough to shake the mighty tree where they live out of its roots. So by the time he's a young man, he can do this. And after his mother dies, he heads off to defeat the evil terrorizing the world. But the evil comes in the form of three dragons who were unleashed by the forefather's three sons and their three wives. So there's kind of some brothers going on with the bad guys, but then also Tree Shaker, he can't tackle the dragons alone. So he seeks to find his two brothers, Cormac Solo and Vasgiro, or his name is, along the way. And yeah, and the three of them unite and embark on a quest to save the world. And yeah, it's just, I wanted to put it in there just because it's a fantastic film that more people should watch. It's visually absolutely remarkable. It's yeah, it's got a kind of a dreamlike 70s kind of thing going on. It's well worth checking out.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
So what's my number three? Number three, I'm going to go with Fists in the Pocket.
Where the hell are you thinking you're getting these movies from?
I'm getting all these from Blueprint Review. I looked at Brothers, and that's because I was struggling. I was trying to think, but yeah, this is a film by Marco Bellocchio. It's been released by Criterion. It's where I watched it, and I just kind of reviewed it on a chance, just because I had seen it got great reviews, and it's fantastic. It's an Italian movie, and it kind of centers around this really messed up family. Including some brothers, that's why it made the grade. And it's yeah, it's kind of it's quite a disturbing film, but it's quite stylishly shot. And it's yeah, it's a fascinating watch. That's it's well worth watching, really. Yeah, it's quite an unconventional film from Italy at the time. I think was more inspired by classical kind of painterly images and things like that. But this is a bit more unconventional, and it's kind of got a bit of a French New Wave kind of thing going on, and it's also got music by the great Ennio Morricone. So always worth watching. So yeah, I put it in there because it's a fantastic
Always great listening
film.
to Marathon.
Yeah.
Even when it's a 3-hour documentary about him.
Oh, well, awesome. And then I've gone all out with some slightly more unusual ones this time. So my next one is Tattooed Life. This is a Japanese film by Seijun Suzuki, who's kind of known for his quite stylish Yakuza films, and this is one of his earlier ones. But this I picked this because it kind of I love the it's the whole film centers around two brothers who've kind of gone on the run. They're in trouble with the Yakuza, and they hide out in this kind of fishing community. And this story between the kind of bond between the brothers and their relationships quite is well realized. It's quite it's nicely done, and it's really kind of central to the story. So I kind of wanted to put in there, and it's a brilliant film. I love Seijun Suzuki's films, and this is one that it's one of his early ones, and it starts off slightly more conventional than some of his later stuff, but it ends with one of the most stylish, like, fantastic finales ever. That kind of it makes great use of kind of the sliding paper doors that you get in Japan, and silhouettes behind them and movement and things like that, and it's really cool. So
Oh.
it's another one that I just wanted to highlight. So yeah, Tattooed Life. And then the last one, if you're talking about, I don't know if anyone else has picked this, but I hope they have, because
Based on your talent for choosing
this is
obscure movies,
this is
maybe not.
less this is less obscure less obscure, but I'm going to go with the Long Riders, because that has got loads of sets of actual brothers playing on-screen brothers, so it's just full of brothers. So in my mind, I'm not sure how anyone could pick anything other than Long Riders for number one, because it's all about brothers and it's featuring lots of brothers, and it's a great fun western as well. So Yeah, that had to be number one.
Okay, that is actually a great choice for your number one. It's not even something that was even on my radar thinking about it, but I completely agree with you. It is a great.
It's a tricky category to come up with. As I say, I was struggling at first, so I actually the way I just looked at I just looked on my website and just searched brothers because I
Well,
was
no, I did
struggling.
send you links, so to give you ideas. But yeah, I've always loved the concept that they're the actors are also real brothers playing brothers. I like that. So yeah, very cool. All right. So now we will play the daily game of Name That World War II Movie and see whether it's going to once again be Casablanca. Never know. Spin the wheel around. Round and round and around we go. Where it stops, nobody knows. No, it's not Casablanca. Sorry. You're gonna actually have to start thinking about this one.
Damn it.
No, I think you should be good.
Oh no.
Okay, this is a movie that came
It
out
can't go
in
well.
2000.
Okay.
It is a World War II submarine movie.
Oh, year 2000. U571?
Yes, very good.
Hey.
Right, the next thing I'm going to say is it stars Matthew McConaughey, Bill Paxton, and Harvey Keitel. Oh, that's really cool. Nice guess. Nicely done.
It's a good era for me, I guess. That was that's when I was 18, and I was trying to get to as many films as possible. And a friend of ours used to work at the cinema when I was actually well, no, that's probably when I was a little bit younger than that. But we used to go a lot. So that was when I was properly getting into films. So anything that came out around those kind of late 90s, early 2000s, I was just very aware of everything, at least all the mainstream stuff.
Oh wow, very cool. Okay, so David, would you like for one final time this season to tell people where they can find David Brooks?
Yeah, you can find my work at blueprintreview.co.uk, where I review all types of weird and wonderful films, usually released on physical media. Yeah, check it out.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie or a Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on my website, movieminute.com. You can find me on Instagram. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, David, thank you very much for joining me once again.
No
As
problem. Had a good
always, it
time.
is a pleasure talking to you about my varied choices in
I
movies. And we'll have to see what
know.
direction I'm going to go for next season. I'm not 100%
I
sure yet.
know. I'm intrigued. I was just thinking about it now. Yeah, I'm intrigued.
Me too. Me too. I'm probably actually even a little more intrigued than you.
Yeah.
So no idea yet. We will all have to patiently wait. Again, including me. Who knows? We'll just have to wait. All right. So I will be back tomorrow with a new guest. Until then, pray.
Great.